Como News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
I'll be honest, I have not been paying a whole lot of attention to the ratings for the Olympics that NBC is carrying. So I really don't know if they're succeeding. I do know that, for example, I think NBC was planning to lose money on the Olympics. And is now saying, we may break even and perhaps even make a little bit of a profit, which is a considerable turnaround, which I suspect, as I say, even though I haven't been paying attention to the ratings, I suspect they've probably been doing pretty decently with the Olympics. And, you know, you have this whole badminton thing that's going on with the players from China. And you got to watch this. I mean, You've got to watch how these teams are just basically throwing the game. So you have all sorts of eight players from China, South Korea, and Indonesia disqualified from the badminton competition because it was just pathetic watching these Olympic athletes trying to throw the game because they wanted easier opponents down the line. It's just kind of crazy. ABC's Tom Rivers is in London, joins us here on Newsline PM. Hi, Tom.
Hey, no, you got it in a nutshell. It's you understand the logic behind it. Just doesn't make for very good viewing.
You know, actually,
that's what
I was going to say. Actually, in terms of viewing, I thought it was hysterical.
I was just talking to another station. This is going to be in the highlights. 20 years from now, we're still going to be talking about this. You watch.
Yeah, I remember ABC's, you know, the agony of defeat. How many times did we see that skier tumble down the hill?
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Exactly. You got it.
I think we're going to see those badminton players in a whole lot of promos for a whole lot of things.
Yeah, well, you understand what they were doing, but man, that is, you know, that's not why you're here. And we were just talking amongst ourselves in the newsroom. Even if that was your ultimate goal, you could have gone through the motions a little bit, you know. Could have hit it over a couple times and then missed, you know.
They could have tried to disguise the fact
that
they were throwing the game.
Yeah, exactly.
So has there been a big reaction to that? I mean, how are other athletes from around the world reacting to it? I'm curious.
Yeah, I think they all you know, here in England, everybody's saying, you know, to use the phrase, it's not cricket. And I think most athletes would say, you look, it's you know, you really shouldn't do that. You should try, guys. And if that means you got a tougher competition in the next round, well, so be it. Because you can't just kind of manipulate your way through the tournament, if you will. And that is not certainly sporting.
Another area that China has kind of come under some scrutiny is this 16-year-old swimmer who just shattered this record. What does she hold?
Yeah.
Put a brand new record on the books, and everybody's going, oh, well, maybe she's got some extra juice in there. Is that still a rumored whisper?
Not really. It's kind of died down. It is kind of in the realm of wow. You know, either she is this incredible athlete, and we're witnessing that, or it's often been brought up here. Maybe if she is on something that she hasn't been tested for. For instance, Tour de France, they have samples that have been, you know, hanging around now for like a decade. And if the testing is developed over, say, a certain period of time, maybe they could retest some of these samples at a date in the future. But at this stage, I think you almost have to say, yep, hats off to her. She's done what she did. And you know, until proven guilty, that's her record stands.
Yeah, and did it spectacularly, we might add.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Here's the other hot button. I don't know if you, your colleagues, and the people, you know, assembled there from the media covering the Olympics are having to deal with this. But I'm getting unelicited email from people going, I'm so tired of getting Olympic results in the afternoon when I haven't gotten the opportunity to see the show.
We're just working the story here. I don't know what if people, yeah, that's what's happening on your end. I'm on the other end of the can and trying to get the information down the string, put it that way.
And my response to them is, look, we don't sit on news. I mean, when the news comes in, the news goes out.
You got it.
We're not going to sit there and hold back on reporting of events that happen simply because NBC has, you know, spent a boatload of money to delay the televised viewing of the Olympics.
So, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, maybe some people should just, don't dial in until your event comes up so you can watch it fresh. I don't know. It's like sometimes here in this country we get, there's a big boxing match maybe in Vegas. And if you don't want to stay up till, 3 or 4 in the morning here in London, a lot of the pubs will have the boxing match maybe about 10 o'clock in the morning the next day. And the pubs fill up, and nobody usually in the pub will know what the heck's going on. So you watch it like with fresh eyes.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm certainly envious of your coverage out there over the Olympics, and I hope everything's going well and that you're enjoying it.
I tell you, and it's all going according to plan. There's been nothing, untoward thus far, and that's great news. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the coming days.
All right, Tom Rivers there in London covering the Olympics for ABC. Thank you, Tom.
Take care.
Good talking with you. I'm gonna put this out there because, again, I'm getting, and I don't think I've done it. Well, I take that back. I think I may have on a couple of occasions mentioned something that took place at the Olympics in the moment, and that may be what inspired people to email me going, "What are you doing, Schramm? At least warn me when you're going to do that." But I, NBC, and we talked about this earlier in the week, that I really feel that NBC has kind of usurped the Olympics from the world. There's only certain things that we can use in terms of audio, certain things that can be used in terms of still pictures, certain things that can be used in terms of video, and it is extremely restrictive. And the reason for that is because NBC just gave the Olympics, they gave them the keys to the bank. That's so NBC is trying to make money. And so in order for it to make money and the delay, they put in this in prime time where they can get bigger advertising. And then people get upset for those of us who are not with NBC for reporting it earlier. That's what I want to ask you. Do you feel that it's justified to sit back and not report what's happening at the Olympics until the Olympic event has actually taken place? 206-421-1000 is the local line. The toll-free number for you is 877-397-COMO. That's 877-397-5666. Would you prefer that we don't talk about the Olympics on the day that the events are taking place? So we wouldn't. I know what I did. I talked about Michael Phelps yesterday. And I talked about him winning, that extra medal that gives him the most medals of any Olympic athlete in the history of the Olympic Games. And people were genuinely upset with me for having kind of let that cat out of the bag. And so I got emails going, "Gee, Schramm, thanks for ruining the swimming meet for me tonight when I was going to go home and watch it." So I want your calls. What do you expect? What do you think is fair? What do you think is right? And we'll find out in a moment.
Reporting the news, understanding the news. Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
Okay, so here's where I'm at. And again, what kickstarted this is, I think it may have been yesterday. It might have been Monday. I can't remember when Michael Phelps broke the record for the most. It was yesterday, the deputy says. So yesterday I was talking about Michael Phelps having won more medals than anyone has ever won in the history of the Olympics. And I got several emails from people that were just really ticked off at me for kind of like, giving away the ending to the movie, so to speak. Telling people what had happened before they had a chance to go home and watch it. So, and I know there's people who are trying to avoid finding out the results of the Olympic events as the day goes on because they want to watch it when they get home. But I'm telling you right here, right now, I mean, it's not our job to sit on news issues or news items, be they Olympic or otherwise, because it might spoil somebody's TV viewing. Plus, I have an inherently... I have a real attitude about how NBC, and it was started by ABC, so it's not just the NBC network, how NBC has kind of hijacked the Olympics. I mean, this is for the people of the world. And the manner in which they do this and how restrictive they are when it comes to allowing other media organizations to cover the Olympics is just outrageous. So I'm asking you, what do you think about that? 206-421-1000 is the local line. 877-397-COMO is the toll-free for you. Mark in Issaquah, you're up on Newsline PM. Go ahead, Mark. Is Mark not there? Okay, see, I'm two calls. That's what you get. When I say Mark, you're not there, I'm going to go Mark one more time, and that's it. So, because I know a lot of you, what happens is you put us on hold. You get through and you put the phone on hold, or you put the phone down and you're making a sandwich, you're getting a glass of milk or whatever it is, and then you hop back on the line. But by then, I've already hung up on you. But I'm curious, and I wish I'm sitting here, I was trying to go through, I should have flagged, if I was smarter than I am or not as dumb as I look, I would have flagged those emails that I got from people. A couple of them. A couple of you really took me to task. I mean, it was like, you purposely set out to ruin my whole night. I've been looking forward to this Michael Phelps swimming match, and you just really blew it for me. I didn't mean to do it, but I'm not going to stop either, by the way. Jeff in Seattle, you're up on Newsline PM.
Yeah, it is really frustrating because we on the West Coast get kind of hosed every time this happens. And with today's technology, I'd like to watch the races live. Or, I mean, the events live. But if you're somewhere where you can't sit there and watch TV, you're at work or something like this, then you hear the radio first thing on the top of the news. The ABC people are going, Phelps wins another gold right off the top of the bat. Even your sports guys, when they come on at 10 after, I try to listen to your traffic report. And that is when your actual – I like to hear Paul Tosh, but he seems to be on vacation all the time now. But anyway, the sports guys come on, and it's right off the bat. Someone does this, It's like, just say spoiler alert. That's all we ask. Spoiler alert.
Well, but even if you say spoiler alert, people aren't going to get to the radio fast enough, or they're not going to be able to turn it down quickly enough. And I know what you're saying, Jeff, but our job is not to, like I said, it's not to sit on the news of the day until it's convenient for people to hear it. And acknowledging that the Olympics is part of the news of the day, that it's just the way it goes. Don't you get ticked off at NBC for setting the stage so that this is what happens?
Yes, I do, but I also think people from ABC want to see NBC fail, so they're just going to do what they can to get everybody mad,
too. No, that's not true. That's because I've gone out of my way to say ABC also did this and set the stage. So, I appreciate, Jeff, I really do. I appreciate how frustrating it can be. I guess what I'm asking is, I understand that, we're just doing our job here, too. Johnny from Cosmopolis. I didn't know they had phone service in Cosmopolis.
I'm on a secret mission, and I can't expose that to anybody what I'm doing.
Okay, you're up, Johnny.
I'm wondering, I myself don't like the way CBS and NBC took away all the Olympics, but you got a personal vendetta against them guys for some reason also. And no offense, buddy. And also, maybe give people a little heads up. Say, hey, man, I'm about to talk about some Olympics. Maybe turn off your radio for a little bit. I know it'll cut back on your ratings, but,
I see what you mean, and I appreciate the call. And John, I got to tell you, I'm being totally candid with you. I don't have a vendetta against NBC, not even a little bit. I do blame them for being part of how the Olympics has been hijacked. That just bothers the hell out of me. But if it was ABC, I'd feel exactly the same way.
What happens next happens on the Como Afternoon News today at 3. Now, Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
All right, Judy at least is one of the people that, understands what we're doing and emailed me and said, hey, just keep talking about the Olympics. Also is kind of upset with NBC. You can always reach me email, and you can always reach me on Facebook. I check both consistently during the course of the show. Hey, in a moment, have you heard of Mitts VP? It's a new app that's going to be available here. In fact, I think it is available now. And you'll be among the first to know who Mitt Romney is choosing for VP, although some people calling it a scam.
Como News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
4 years ago, Barack Obama was like the master. He was the tech guru in the political world with what he did with his campaign and the technology that he used to kind of foster that. So I think he's kind of set the standard and set the stage, because now we've got Mitt Romney launching an app called Mitt's VP.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a movie, I think, that was titled that once, Mitt's VP. Matt Markovich, our technological guru here at Fisher, joins me this afternoon to talk about this. Now, he launched
and to be fair, we'll also talk about Obama.
Yeah, Romney launched his yesterday. Obama also launched an app yesterday. Mm-hmm. Now, what are the problems? Because there are some problems or issues developing here.
Well, it's all about, again, what I've always talked about, how much info do you want to give somebody else? To them. And that's what both these apps require, is that you give up some of your information, especially if you are a Facebook person, because both apps require you or have an option to log in as Facebook. And when you log in on your Facebook account, your personal information, your friends, all that stuff can be accessible by these campaigns.
So, but why would they care who my friends are? Well, never mind.
Well, and the apps do two different things. Let's first talk about Mitt's VP. Now, the whole intent on this, and this is why you got good news buzz, is that 4 years ago, Barack Obama announced his VP selection on a text. He said he was going to do that, and that's how the world found out.
And McCain did it with smoke signals.
Yeah, that's right. And from Russia. He could see Russia from where he was. Yeah. And so Mitt Romney's doing this thing where he says, if you download my app, you will be the first to know my VP selection. And even in the app, it says, everybody will know about it even before, you guys will know about it before the press, even before Ann, his wife.
Oh, I'm not buying that. That's a load. Come
that's
on.
That's what it says.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay.
All right.
So, it says there's free ice cream for everybody, too.
Yeah. So if you download this, and it's a free app, you can get it from the Android store or the iTunes store. What you're going to have to do is log in, and then it starts getting your personal information at that point. And
are you aware of the fact that all your personal information is suddenly available?
Because if you log in, you can log in with limited personal information, but both of these apps require you to verify your email address. Now, email address is so important to any campaign. I mean, especially if it's verifiable.
Yeah, I get emails from Nancy Pelosi all the time.
Well, then she knows where you live.
And from Barack Obama and from Mitt Romney's campaign and the Tea Party.
Yeah, well, I mean,
lots of emails.
Well, and if you respond to those emails, boy, you're going to get more.
Okay. I just delete them.
Because email addresses, verified email addresses, to some people are worth 10 $20, believe it or not. So that means it's a legitimate person out there. So that's what really this app is, I think, really about, is to gather information. Oh, yeah, there's a big button on the very front here called Donate.
Of course.
Yeah. You know, so, and you can see his Twitter feeds and stuff like that. But that's what Mitt's VP app is about.
So this is, from the way you've described it, it seems fairly standard to me. This is what you would normally get from a politician that's seeking public office, national office, the mm-hmm. presidency of the United States. I mean, there's nothing untoward about this.
No, but not, you're right. But the Obama app, which came out yesterday, Obama for President, does basically the same thing. Doesn't say anything about the VP. But his app, the president's
app. Is Obama
app,
getting a new VP? We could start a brand new rumor.
Here you go.
You'll be the first to know.
That would be really good.
You'll know before Michelle does.
And Joe.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. So what his app is, his app goes a little bit farther. It's requiring that you log in with your GPS information, its location services, because what it does is customize the feeds that come on in the app for canvassing, for campaign events in your area. And so people are saying, you know, on the Obama app, yeah, you can log in via Facebook and put your personal information in there. But that app is actually wants you to do GPS, so it knows where you are at all times, because it's going to say, hey, Rick, guess what? I'm going to push an alert to you, Matt, that there's a campaign event going on just down the street from you right now. And also, there's some volunteers that live right over there.
That would freak me out.
And that's
I don't like that.
That's the whole intent of his app, is about rallying people to support his cause and joining the movement. So his intent is totally different from Mitt Romney's intent, which is just kind of getting the word out there. It's very Romney's app is, having gone through both of them, is much weaker than the Obama app in terms of functionality, but, you know, it's gimmicky on the Romney side.
Here's the deal with me, is that, first of all, the futility of this is apparent to me. There's no way on God's great green wonderful earth that I would go for Mitt's VP app, and I wouldn't even go for Obama's app. I don't need to be constantly bombarded. It's bad enough when I get home and the phone rings three or four times a night with, you know, some political on the other end of the line going, have you done? And I just, you know.
Well, and you got to put in your phone number. It's required. It's one of those asterisk things.
Yeah, that's another reason I wouldn't do it.
Well, that's just it. You know, again, how much information are you going to give up about yourself for the mere fact that maybe you'll know who the VP is a millisecond before some guy who belongs to it, like a press guy like me,
right,
gets it, tweets it out, and AP has it within 5 seconds after it's been tweeted out to the people.
But
but
Mitt tells me that I would know beforehand.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, that alone might be gratifying.
Well, that just tells me that Ann's not going to download his app.
I was just going to ask, what if she's on his app?
Yeah, then she'll know, like...
Then she'll know just before me.
Then she'll know before she knows.
So how is this really a useful tool for the individual who gets the app? Or is this really a function of campaigning?
It's a total function of campaigning, and the gimmicky is that we're talking about it. You know, he's going to release his VP to the world through his app first. Just like Obama said last year, 4 years ago, it's going to be through a text. You know, so it's that little gimmicky thing. And, of course, he's going to get some people to download his app. I'll be able to see what he's doing, see his tweets. It's a real basic app. And, of course, the big donate button is very prominent on his
app.
So
I'll use the word naive rather than someone or something less kind.
Yeah.
Who would be naive enough to think, oh, this is really cool. This is going to give me a technological leg up. I'm going to be better in tune. I'm going to be better informed. I'm going to know more than the people who don't get the app.
There's nobody. I mean, I think you just hit it. No one's naive. Well, you should not be naive enough once you start entering your personal information. Most apps don't require that. These two apps, the Obama app, in fact, I had to verify my email address twice. I used my Como one, but I had to do it twice. I mean, they just really want to make sure that there's a legitimate person on the other end. And that's what these apps are really all about, to gather your personal information, put them on a mailing list, and I'm going to see how much email I'm going to get now because of these apps.
All right, so let me ask you the odd question. Do both President Obama and Mitt Romney run the risk of irritating people who sign up for these apps and then just find themselves inundated?
I think you could better answer that question than I think. I think yes. I mean, unless you're a big supporter, you're going to get on a mailing list and then try and get unsubscribed on some of these mailing lists. You know, they have your information. Once they have it and they're verifying an email address, and I can't stress that enough. Like so many other apps, if all of a sudden it says, you know, go to your email address to verify, email account to verify that this app's going to work for you, you got to verify that. That is the most important piece of information that they want to know, because you have to physically respond back to them that, yes, this is indeed my email address. It's coming from mattmarkovich@como.com, and I do exist, or this email address exists. Once you get a verified email address to a mail list server company, that could be up to 100. American Express pays $100 for high-profile email addresses.
I'm telling you, I may go sign up for this, and I'll use your private email. Matt Markovich, thanks for the update, the info. I'm passing on Mitt's VP, and I'm also passing on...
You won't be the first to know. I'm sorry, Ken.
Well, you know, that's me. I'm a day late and a dollar short and behind on all the info. Thanks, Mark. Good talking with you, man.
Okay.
In a moment, we're going to get into Tacoma once again trying to wrest the issue of medical marijuana to the ground.
You've heard what's happening. Now, find out what it means to you. Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
So the Tacoma City Council says that, hey, if you grow it on the down low, you're really not going to have any problems. And what they're talking about is medical marijuana gardens. That, if you kind of keep it cool and... it's not this explosive, you know, neon sign, get your pot here, and people traipsing outside with a big bowl cooking, and, you know, they're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. Don't give anybody a reason to complain about you, and no one will. And then there's no reason for the cops to swoop in. Now, when it comes to the dispensaries, that's something else entirely. The city council yesterday said... that's a public nuisance, and they're not going to be permitted, period. End of discussion. So, and part of the problem there is that dispensaries aren't really defined in the medical marijuana law that was passed here in Washington State. Philip Dowdy is with Safe Access Alliance, joins me here this afternoon on Newsline PM. Not terribly good news out of Tacoma, Philip.
Well, it's not a wipeout. It's not terrible. To be honest with you, the proposed ordinance that they were working on last week was even more restrictive than the one they passed last night. So it got softened up a little bit. Really, the thing Tacoma was trying to address here is there are some places that have opened in locations that just aren't suitable for any sort of, you know, retail or commercial transaction, like right next to churches. Some of them are in residential areas. They needed a method to address them. But there's a lot of good, clean actors in Tacoma who are in, you know, reasonable locations. And it sounds like they're going to be left alone as long as they don't do anything silly. And, I'm nervously optimistic that this is a reasonable approach that's going to work out. I'm just disappointed that 9 months of a task force's work just, you know, got flushed down the toilet.
Well, and I was going to ask because, okay, you're right. I think they're kind of easing off the issue of marijuana gardens, but they've totally crashed on the issue of pot dispensaries.
Well, they may have. I mean, I don't quite know how this is going to work out because there's kind of a bit of gray area wiggle room between what's a collective garden and what's a dispensary. And it's going to be up to the city of Tacoma to kind of sort out what they're okay with over time here. By the way, the process here is not a criminal process. It would actually be a civil process if they have problems with somebody. You know, they'd have to give them several notices, you're in violation, close down, here's a fine or two, and then they would have to probably go to a judge and get a court order. They're not going to send the cops swooping in, I do not believe. But, you know, Ken, this proves yet again that Governor Gregoire should have never done what she did last year.
What, in vetoing certain aspects of the bill?
Yeah, she made a mess, and we told her she was going to make a mess if she did that, and she went and made a mess.
Well, and the feds continue, by the way, the governor may have made a mess, but the feds continue to make noise.
In other parts of this state and in other states they do. In Western Washington, you know, there seems to be some detente at the moment, so I don't quite know. You know, we'll see how this works out. Certainly there are some people who think that the feds were behind the city council backing off the regulatory ordinance they were going to pass. There's rumors that the city of Tacoma got threatened with losing some kind of $7 million firefighter contract or something that was coming from the feds. Can't verify that for folks, but, you know, anything is possible in this environment. I just hope they came up with a workable solution here.
So what does this do then to the medical marijuana patient? Does this help facilitate getting hold of what they need to use medically, or does this just put another obstacle in the way of having easy access to this?
I think it's going to be kind of neutral. There's going to be some places that are going to get shut down over the next few months, but again, they had location problems, and I can't defend that sort of thing. So it's going to be a wait and see, Ken. But most of the major collectives I know in Tacoma who I've talked to today, they think they're going to be okay under this, and their patients are still going to be served, and I don't know how many places are, you know, under the watchful eye of the planning department in Tacoma. We're going to find out. This will be an evolving situation. And
it's been evolving. And just for the sake of understanding so that people know, basically there's a one city block buffer between a marijuana garden and a school, a daycare, a drug rehabilitation center, park, library, or youth center. In other words, you can't be within basically a city block of any of those.
Yeah, it's about a block and a half to 2 blocks, depending on – it's 600 feet.
Yeah, okay, depending on how long the block is.
It depends on the part of Tacoma. But, you know, the bigger concern down the road here is with I-502 because it's got a 1,000-foot requirement from parks and schools and playgrounds and swimming pools and rec centers and libraries, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And the problem is we've been doing an analysis of what that would do.
Let me do this because we're running here. Let's do this on another day. I wish we had gotten to it, but trust me, there'll be another opportunity. Thank you for joining me here. I appreciate it.
Take care, Ken. Bye.
All right, hang with us. Newsline PM continues.
What happens next happens on the Como Afternoon News today at 3. Now, Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
I'm fairly certain we're going to be hearing more from ABC and our own Como newsroom here on the following. Apparently, San Antonio, the international airport there, has been evacuated. Officials say they got a very specific bomb threat. Apparently, someone called and said that the three packages had been left inside a parking garage down there at the airport. So you had all of the passengers that were inside the terminal kind of herded out onto the tarmac. And arriving planes are staying parked away from the gates. The fire department there says she doesn't know whether emergency responders have actually found these things yet. But it's going on. There's Southwest said the carrier had six arriving flights on the tarmac that are just waiting for clearance to roll to the gate. So at the very least, this is inconveniencing a whole lot of people. And the irony here is that, you know, we just got this report that, you know, terrorist threats and acts of terrorism have gone down so dramatically in the time since Osama bin Laden was taken out. And now you got this popping up. We're going to explore this more here on Newsline PM in just a moment, but we'll wait and see what ABC and what our Como News folk have to say about this. So hang with us. Got more coming for you.